The Old Testament reading for this 20th Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 5. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from them, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil and unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose body fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible describes God as love. The other thing that the Bible describes God as is truth. Coming to know God is drawing nearer to the truth. Coming to know God is also having our loves aligned in the proper way. Because a great spiritual truth is that a soul becomes what it loves. We are being conformed to the likeness of Christ. And being conformed to Christ, as anyone who has studied the Catechism knows, has both this negative and this positive force. We are no longer to do those things that are contrary to truth and love. Murder, adultery, stealing. The negative force is tough enough, but it's just about imagining. We'll come back to that. Because the greater part is the positive force of those commandments. We are conformed to the likeness of Christ. We are less driven by fear of doing the wrong thing and driven more by the love of the good and right. Instead of just not killing our neighbor, because that would be bad, and we might go to jail, we would seek to help and support our neighbor in every physical need. If you've ever attempted to read Dante's Inferno, that's the great secret to its order. All the way down in the pit with Satan are those who have knowingly rejected the truth. Satan being the worst, and in his mouths are Judas and the other great traitors. The souls who rejected truth in whole are all within this great city of the damned dis. They knowingly loved neither God nor their neighbor, and have become eternally disfigured and stuck. In the upper levels, it's not that these souls have rejected the truth. There are lots of them who would cry out, "Lord, Lord." The problem was that their love was not the love that moved the earth and all the stars. They insufficiently loved the good or overwhelmingly loved the temple. And their souls were eternally malformed. Our gospel text, to me, opens itself as a Dante-esque journey. Jesus is setting out on his journey. And this is the journey to the cross. Jesus is conforming himself to the love of the Father. He's conforming himself to the love of the creation. The Father desires that his creation be saved, and Jesus journeys to the cross in order to save it, becoming all of its salvation. And seeing Jesus on the way to the cross, this soul runs up and kneels before him. Notice both the haste and the submission. This man, this soul, runs to Jesus. And at this point, I'm not sure if we can judge that haste. It could simply be the nervous haste of all of us running from this love to that love to another love. And as each love proves to be less than true, we become restless. What Augustine says about our hearts being restless until they find their rest in thee. The man's haste could simply be that restlessness. It could also be knowledge. When you know, you don't really lollygag. Given the man's willingness to kneel and seemingly to submit himself, he seems pretty sure that this Jesus knows. In any case, as with most things in this life, it's probably a mixture of both. We know the truth when we see it, but we remain restless. and unwilling to accept the rest that God offers us. Because the man continues with a statement and a question. Statement. Good teacher. Here is the knowledge. He knows that Jesus is the good teacher. Question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? In what way must I direct my soul? And I think we have to pause to say that this man is further along than most of our world. This man knows that he's lost. This man knows that he needs direction from outside of himself. This man knows that such direction takes some submission. Most of our world is content in taking direction from their gut, their creaturely desires. Oh, occasionally they may find the restlessness exhausting and feel empty. But chasing the desires of the world offers up plenty of distraction these days. And most of the world is more than content to form their souls into these world widgets, usually passively just accepting whatever the world places before us on a screen to love. This, at least in his approach, is not. He knows that being a world widget is a temporal thing. He's after eternal life. So, with this trembling soul kneeling before him, Jesus mirrors back the man's approach. He asks him a question and tells him something. First, he asked him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. Jesus is inquiring about just how much does the man know? What has been revealed to the man by his father? Is the man truly seeking God? In which case, we've been promised that if we are seeking, we shall find. The trembling man before him is a weak reed, or promise that he will not break it, or a smoldering wick snuff out. This Jesus welcomes sinners. This Jesus welcomes tired souls longing for home and rest. But he also gives him the simple aspect of being conformed to God. Jesus reiterates the law. You know the commandments? John, in his letters, would write, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. Truth and love. The commandments, in their negative force, don't do this, are still good and wise. They're how God would have us live. The world, of course, rejects these wherever it can get away with it. But the one who knows God will not reject it. And this soul here does not reject them. All of these I have kept from my youth. This soul is seeking God. This soul is desiring the truth. This soul is trembling at the point of redirecting its love. And Jesus looks at this soul and he loves it. We redirect our loves at the impulse of his love. He's the mover. We are the moved. This is the soul that God can form. This is the soul that might have looked at that Dantean hellscape and realized he was lost in the dark wood himself. This is the repentant soul, fearful of its fate. But is this soul ready to turn from fear? The beginning of wisdom, which he has practiced from his youth. Is he ready to turn from fear towards love? Is his soul really submitting itself to God? Turning away from the law, looking at the man in love, Jesus tells him the truth. You lack one thing. Go sell everything and give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. You think you are seeking God. You think that maybe you have found him. You desire the right thing. But something stands in the way. You've placed something before God. And God is a jealous God. Shall have no other gods before me. Embedded in that truth, Jesus tells him, are two great promises. Whatever you might give up here is not really lost. You will have treasure in heaven. Anything given away here for God's sake is never really lost. Anything done out of love for God is multiplied. In the crass way, you have made God your debtor, and God always pays his debts. How does the kingdom multiply? This is how. You place what God has given you from his providence into the command of his love. The second promise is, come, follow me. Not only do you not lose anything, you gain brotherhood with God. The soul that aligns its love with the love of God will not be without and will not be abandoned. There are lost souls who don't know they're lost. They restlessly follow whatever love has captured them today, and that forms them. There are souls who recognize their plights. They might even fear God enough to attempt to keep the commandments. These souls are willing to submit something, but not everything, to God. The problem is that God does not accept half sacrifices. God didn't do that with Cain. He never has. And he has no need of our sacrifices. When Jesus told the man in truth what he was missing, the soul went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. There was an idol in front of God. The question of today's text is one of love. Do we have an idol that we love more than Jesus? If we do, we are not worthy of Jesus. Are we willing to bend certain actions out of fear, but not willing to commit in love? Whatever we are loving is how we are forming our soul. Are we forming our souls for temporal purposes? Or are our souls being formed for treasure in heaven and brotherhood with God? These are the questions that the soul needs to ask. Is this teacher really good? No one but God is good. Are we really seeking and submitting to God? Or are we trying to keep the household idols? The direction of the soul depends upon the direction of our love. Walking away from God sorrowful, or towards God, if haltingly at first. Amen.